The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. Hey, the old gang is here. It's been about 3 weeks since Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin have been together. We've all been gone at one time or another, and we're all back.
Some of us are still gone. Isn't there a song about that?
Yeah, Bob probably knows it. Bob, is there a song about that?
I'm working on it.
Yeah, okay.
Welcome back, both of you.
Thank you. So welcome to We the People Radio. We are streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us. Go to that webpage. You can follow along with our guests today. And there is a link to every individual show that we've ever done. And we are fast approaching our third anniversary. So that would be...
Three
years.
Wow.
So I think our first show was it October 1st of 2010?
I've gone through one notebook so far.
Have you really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Got through an entire composition book.
On notes from all the shows.
One comp page per show.
Nice.
So, you know, do the math, huh?
Yeah.
Let's see, what are we talking, 100 sheets?
Yeah.
100 sheets.
Very
and I'm,
good.
And I'm drilled into the second book, so there you go.
Excellent.
That's official, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So I wanted to chat a little bit before we get going.
Really? Oh,
and I should remind you that...
We're going to chat for a whole 2 hours, though.
Well, yeah.
But, don't burn it all right now.
Other people are going to chat. But I wanted to talk a little bit about... thank you. I like this shirt, too. I want to talk about the Clover Fire. And, you know, we made national news in Shasta County because of that fire. And I think today they fully contain it, or they expect to. But,
oh, is today the day?
Today or tomorrow, yeah.
Okay.
But a lot of times folks want to know what they can do, and I know that, you know, you can take donations to the Salvation Army, which I did this week, but I also want to encourage people to maybe think about doing things that they know absolutely will go directly to the people that were affected by the fire. 68 homes lost.
Is that the total?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Over 8,000 acres.
Did it start past you, well, next to you, beyond you? Like
it was at Clear Creek and Cloverdale, and there are water towers there.
So south of you.
Yeah, just slightly south. And I have a picture on my phone that shows a giant, giant plume of smoke right above my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been there. And
yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like...
You know, this is the third year in a row that we've had major fires in that area, and so every year I get less attached to my stuff. So, burn, baby, burn. Anyway, easy for me to say. There, but for the grace of God, go I could have been naked and homeless.
And then you wouldn't have been wearing that shirt
that's
so fun.
Isn't that
the tassels on it.
So, anyway, there's a couple of things happening. If you go to the Reading Tea Party on Monday nights, tomorrow night, if you have any extra blankets, pillows, sheets, bath towels, clothing, household goods, I mean, when you've got nothing, you need everything.
Sure.
Bring it to the Tea Party Monday night. I will take it and deliver it to the IGO community the next day, because I'm only 2 miles from there, so I would be happy
to transport
anything that anybody might have that they can spare that you want to make sure goes directly to those folks. And then they've got some wonderful tents set up. Just right in front of the IGO, the post office, and they've done a fantastic job. A good friend of mine, Robin Birmingham, has been spearheading that event, and they have the clothes all hanging, and they've got it's beautiful and organized,
so people can come by and get
and
what
just
they need,
take whatever they need.
That's awesome.
But they don't have to scavenge because they've set it up beautifully. So you know, if you want to contribute to that. Bring your stuff tomorrow night, and I will take it there on Tuesday morning. Secondly, there's, you know, we talk about young people, you know, not engaging in what's going on around them. There are some fantastic young ladies in their 20s that are spearheading a fundraiser tonight at Wind River. $7 a plate. It's a spaghetti feed and a dessert auction. And I'm hauling a couple of my girlfriends. We're going there at 4 o'clock, and we don't know what they need us to do, but we're going to show up, and they're going to plug us in wherever we can help.
Cool. And that's all for the fire victims.
And it's all for the fire victims. And so if you want an inexpensive dinner, and you want to have some fun and you want to know that you're helping a great cause, go to Wind River tonight at 5 o'clock. The event is from 5 to 9, and if you want to help, I mean, they're throwing this thing together. They've done it in the last week, so if you're expecting perfect organization, keep your standards low or your expectations. but it's going to be a wonderful event.
You should
event.
Say get over yourself.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
And we're showing up to help anybody that wants to spend the afternoon, wants to join us doing that, 4 o'clock at Wind River. So these are some things that people are doing to directly help the fire victims.
Nice.
And Amy Ann Burke on Facebook is spearheading that event.
Go, Amy.
Amy Ann Burke. So you can friend her on Facebook, and I know she'd love your help.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. you know, because we deal with this all the time.
We do.
You know, every year. Mm-hmm. Some pocket of our community gets mowed down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a big one. How far south did it go?
I don't really know.
Okay, I was curious.
You know, I'm fortunate that I have my neighbor is a retired CDF battalion chief and a real nice guy. And he has always been able to guide us on what to do. I mean, he can look at a plume of smoke, read that smoke, and tell you exactly what's going on with it. But that was what he did. So it's pretty handy.
We used to work at the tower, the South Fork Tower, lookout tower.
Sure. Oh, that's wonderful. And, there.
But, yeah. You know, you don't realize how far away it mm-hmm. is. And so if there was a fire, like, down where you were,
yeah.
you know, it's small. I mean, yeah. it's real small from up there. Yeah. And so you'd have to kind of get good at, you know, what does white smoke mean? What does, you know, the brown smoke mean? And the dark, you know, obviously the dark black smoke.
Right.
But all the fires have different, you mm-hmm. know, depending on what's burning.
Yeah, I'm going
to
show you.
There's a whole big trick to that.
So my telephone number is 605-7501 if you have any questions about how you can help. Mm. Call me.
Say it again.
605-7501.
Right.
You give me a call.
Oh, I think we're on, and just in case you didn't.
There it is. There's my picture.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. We had like mm-hmm. wall of fire. We could see the black
yeah.
and the flames coming out of the Jones fire when it yeah. came to our house.
Yeah.
Got within about a mile north
and
of us, burned to the west of us, and
all
then ran to
wind.
The south.
I have the updated figures on the fire
this morning. You could be our news director then. Hey, what a good idea.
Yeah. I put my news costume back on here. Mm. The fire has, at last word, been 95% contained, burned 8,073 acres, destroyed 68 homes and 128 outbuildings, and reportedly all the evacuations have been lifted for the entire area.
And we had 4 people burned and 1 death, which is devastating.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. And you were asking earlier how far south it burned. I know it was threatening to cross the county line into Tehama County.
Yeah, that's what I wondered. Did it ever get that far?
Cottonwood area. I'm not sure that it actually did, but it was close.
That is not great. What I was going to say is on the webpage, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you will see Elizabeth's phone number mm-hmm. under sponsorship and advertising right. options. It's right there.
Yeah, so you can call me and
people out there with like secret phone numbers, you know, and they keep all that stuff secret. We like to hide right in the open.
Absolutely.
So if anybody who says they can't find us.
So not true.
Mm-mm. So not true. So,
all right. So
let's
we're talking guns today.
Talking about guns. We talked about wolves last week. It seemed only fitting to follow it up
with
guns.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that we had all these, we'll call them bad, for lack of a bigger, worse word. A lot of bad bills in the California State Legislature.
Yeah.
Just in case you were curious of what they are and you got a pen ready, we'll go through them, I'm sure, maybe not all, but if you'd like to see them, again, wethepeopleradio.us. And many thanks to Robert Exter, who puts this page together for us every week. Sometimes
thank you so much, Robert.
Yeah, sometimes at the last minute. So Patrick Jones from Jones Fort, the gun shop, will be here in 2 seconds. I think he's out there chatting with our gatekeeper. He is, too. I was kidding, but he really is.
I knew he'd bring coffee.
Oh, and he brought coffee.
I love you.
He's always good about that.
That's awesome. I'm just happy that the car out front wasn't his when we pulled in because it had some sort of a sorority license plate frame on it. And I was like, oh, no, Patrick's gone over to the dark side. I wonder how that works out at the gun shop with Phi Beta Kappa or whatever it is out there. And it was pink. I was hoping you were late, actually. You had me worried. So anyway, probably better take a swift break. We're going to come back, talk about guns, probably goof off a bunch. You should grab some coffee, too, because that's what we're going to talk about. And we'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
He's got tricks, obviously. Most bad guys won't believe. A bulletproof coat, a cannon hat, machine gun game with a rope. Fight for and fire is this guy. Takes him many places. He's a squirrel of many faces. Who's that?
Bug.
Who's that?
Botan.
Who's that?
Bug.
Secret squirrel.
And we're watching the cartoon while you guys are listening to the song. How great is that?
Yeah.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. Hey, Patrick Jones. Patrick Jones of Jones Fort and Reading City Councilman is joining us. We're going to talk about all of the new laws that have landed on, or all the legislation, the bills landing on the governor's desk to destroy the Second Amendment
in the state of California. I think there are some secret squirrels everywhere.
Hey, so Patrick, on a personal
exactly.
note, what's with the scruff?
Well, today is Sunday.
Ah,
and
okay.
I was trying to wear my hat, my cowboy hat with these earmuffs, and it wasn't working. But, you know, I don't have to shave. I don't have to answer phones today.
Okay.
I'm trying to be outside today, but that's not happening so far. But, you know, there's a later part of the day. So
sure. So I'm wearing my customary black shirt. Elizabeth's got sparkles and tassels. Patrick hasn't shaved. Bob, if you have any abnormalities you'd like to confess to our listening audience?
I'm definitely the most colorful.
You guys all look
sparkles
great.
Sparkles and tassels, that doesn't quite sound right.
That's why I said it like that.
Yeah.
You know, the whole part of radio.
We need to tell them where the tassels are.
The whole part of radio is
tassels.
We could dress and be anything we wanted, and no one would hear that. But now that you've explained it, it's kind of, you know, kind of killed the thing.
I know. It does kind of take the mystery out of it, doesn't it? But you know what? I don't want them to be cheated. Because you know, remember how we used to read books for... You know, you could paint a great picture in your mind reading a book. Well, nobody really reads books anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for all those people who still do. They should. But a lot of people don't read books, and they rely on the sensationalism of video.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to bring some of that sensationalism to radio to make it as absolutely compelling as possible.
Excellent.
Okay, that's just rationalization.
So what's happening in the gun world?
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is...
Now let's get to the unhappy part.
This will be... most likely the worst year that we've ever seen in California history with the multitude of laws that are coming. And that's a pretty strong statement, but when you think back about all the different laws, 1968 federal laws, the 1989 assault weapon ban in California, the assault weapon ban in 2000, the California 50 caliber ban in 2004, the federal crime package in 1994 that expired in 2004, those are all going to be eclipsed by what they're passing this year alone and what's on the governor's desk as we speak. And for the most part, the general population is unaware of all these bills and the magnitude of these bills and how it will affect every gun owner in California. And it's really phenomenal that so much activity's gone on with this supermajority in Sacramento, and the public is unaware. And I blame the newspapers for that. But there is an effort going on to keep the public quiet, keep the public uninformed, so that they don't react and essentially emerge on Sacramento, and especially today in the governor's office, and demand that he adhere to the Constitution and not sign these bills. But that's what we need to do now.
And, you know, the real travesty is that they are doing their best to disarm honest citizens at the same time while they're releasing prisoners.
These bills are directly aimed at law-abiding citizens. They are not interested in criminal behavior and curbing violence here in California or elsewhere for that matter. And public should be outraged that their rights are going to be taken away, and these are directed right at the law-abiding person. When has a criminal ever taken a law and abided by that law, and a crime has been stopped and prevented? These are directed right at law-abiding citizens.
They have to be.
For registering your ammo, that is not going to stop or solve one crime. It's just going to be a great
burden. I can just see, yeah. Can you just see all the criminals running in? I have three bullets.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could you write that down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Never happening.
Because I, as a criminal, always like to abide by the law.
You know, and so we know this. We have decades and decades, centuries, really, of passing laws and the effect that they have on criminal behavior, and these are directed right at the public, law-abiding people like myself and like you guys, and we shouldn't tolerate it. And it's massive. There's so many different bills here that are going to affect us in so many different ways. It's depressing to see this number. But this is what happened, and this is what they said after Sandy Hook. And then the supermajority came first, and then Sandy Hook, and they made it a mission this year, above all years, to make a point to start registering and controlling firearms in California to the extent that we've never seen before. I'll give you my famous quote. It's a quote that Adolf Hitler said in 1935. I usually say that part at the end. But
I was going to say, let's get Hitler in here early.
You know, our streets will be safer, our police will be more efficient, and the world will follow our lead, and that's with firearm registration. And that's the steps that this government is taking now to have all firearms registered. They want to know where every gun is at, every long gun, every handgun. Have a fee on every one, a yearly fee, and a registration card, just like your automobile, so that they can control the population and control and reduce the numbers of firearms in California.
Well, in addition to that, and maybe we can talk a little bit about what they're doing to qualify who can own a firearm legally, because I believe that their criteria is a bit broad. And they're expanding that. So if you've got any kind of drug or alcohol use, or you know, even misdemeanors, anything on the record anywhere.
Yeah, but if you're a veteran and you're diagnosed with PTSD,
yes.
Where did that fall officially?
Well, there's certain medications, yeah, and in fact, if you're prescribed, and we've tried to get out of the VA a list. And from Department of Justice as to exactly what medications would prevent a person from purchasing a firearm and make them ineligible, and we still have not had the cooperation there. But one of the bills, Senate bill, and this is sitting on the governor's desk today, Senate Bill 755, it expands the list of misdemeanors, including some intoxication-controlled substances that prohibits purchases and possession of firearms. And so there are going to be more expansions of it, and to add on top of already what we have today. And it goes beyond just your background. For example, if your ID is expired by one day, you don't get to buy firearms. If you have any unpaid bills with the Department of Motor Vehicle, you don't get to buy firearms.
And this says if you have a DUI, you're out.
And correct. And now they're going to start expanding that list of people and excluding people from being able to purchase a firearm. And, it's going to start making a dent in their mind. This year, you know, if you're an anti-gunner and I use that term because to me, either you're going to support the Second Amendment, and fight to keep the right to bear arms, or you're not. And so I put all those other people into anti-gunners and,
yeah, whether
and
you
Nazis.
Own,
and,
whether you own guns or whatever.
You know, I'm pretty hard on it, and it's either black or white to me.
Yeah.
And so these things are going to, in every category, from the list of prohibited purchasers to registration, more control, more costs, all firearms registered, things that you have to do that you did legally, and now you have to go back and go do them. They've got some things today that are sitting on the governor's desk where if you have a firearm, a handgun particularly, that you've purchased prior to 1992, that you're going to have to re-register that with the state. And you've already done that.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to, it'll be a crime if you just simply merely have that firearm, that handgun in your possession. That is wrong. You did everything right.
And what about people on antidepressants? I mean, there's a huge amount of the population that pops a pill for every bad day that they have. They go to the doctor. The doctor says, well, you know, postpartum, this, that, and the other. Let's put you on some antidepressants. What about those people?
Well, and you know, and I think people just need to be aware. And I think if we had a better relationship with the Department of Justice so that we could understand what medications would prohibit a person from purchasing a firearm and what wasn't.
So they're not telling?
You can't hardly get an answer out of Department of Justice.
Oh, interesting.
And so
that's a neat way to do it, though.
That way they can decide at the drop of a hat. Oops.
Yeah, you have your dragnet, but then you have this other dragnet that is operating kind of under the radar.
We would ask questions of them, and they would simply read the law that best described it and say, check with your local DA. And that's it. And they wouldn't say yes or no. And that's been kind of a current policy for quite a few years now.
See, and how many people don't pay that close attention to all this stuff. You know, every bill that goes through, this will criminalize tons of people inadvertently who didn't have it because they thought, well, that's stupid. Why would I have to, you know, they're not going to know.
No,
well,
they're totally not going to know.
You know, on a different bill that's sitting on the governor's desk as well, that'll expand the term and change the definition of what an assault weapon is, and they're referring to the assault weapon ban. We have two assault weapon bans that are in effect today in California, the 1989 ban and the 2000 ban, and they have penal code numbers that are attached to them, but in the industry, we simply refer to them as the assault weapon ban of 89 and the assault weapon ban of 2000. There is a bill now that's sitting on the governor's desk that will expand the term, the definition of what an assault weapon is under the assault weapon ban of 2000. And what that's going to say is any centerfire rifle that can hold more than 10 rounds will be an assault weapon. You will have 1 year to register that firearm with the Department of Justice and pay a fee and require a registration card to be accompanied with that firearm whenever you're in possession of that firearm. That firearm then, the address that you give Department of Justice is where the firearm must be stored at all times. When you're in possession of the firearm, you must have your registration card on you at all times. Department of Justice can come and inspect that firearm at the address listed above at any 24-hour period. And this is the world that they believe will be good for us. And I highly disagree with that.
Absolutely.
Yes, as do probably many, 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 many of our listeners. So let's see. We have a caller on the line, but we better, take a quick break? Come right back. We'll keep Terry as our hostage. Hang with us, Terry. We'll be right back to you. You are listening to We the People Radio. If you would like to call us during this program, it's 530-605-4567. Again, you're listening to We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM.
We the People Radio with your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, Bob Martin, and our guest, Councilman Patrick Jones. Hey, Patrick, let's talk about the economic.
Wait, we forgot about Terry, our hostage.
Oh, oops, sorry.
Back to the hostage.
Whoops.
If we're going to talk about guns, we should talk about hostages, don't you think?
Yeah.
Terry?
Am I on?
Hey, look, give us any crap, we'll mute you.
Good grief. Anyway, yeah, Patrick, you're so right about this, and I've got a couple questions for you. One of the things I think is that when you made the statement about, you know, we need to go to Sacramento, we need to make a statement, we need to have a situation where the paper or somebody's representing us. We don't have that, but a lot of people, it's just sort of fractured. It's sort of like every man for himself on this gig. The other thing is that there's a lot of younger families, you know, 30-somethings that have their kids in school, et cetera, both people working in the family, and we're just not getting to them, or they're not paying attention to things. That's another thing, the distraction. What is it that you think we could do to really get the word out about these laws? And one other thing, too, isn't Tim Donnelly at the Tea Party tomorrow night?
Check.
So here's a guy who's running for governor. We can maybe see where he stands. But it seems to me like there has to be some way we can start a process other than, I know we do a lot of things on gun shows. We do a lot of things for Sam. And we do a lot of things to where we have money that can be used in court, because actually these things have to be passed first before we can take them to court, which is another whole issue. So what is it you think we can do, Patrick, in the short term?
Well, that's a great question, Terry. Thank you. You know, right now, join every organization that is pro-gun that you can. They are the our lobbying groups, and without them, we would be in a world of hurt worse than we already are. So that's NRA, Gun Owners of California, Gun Owners of America, California Rifle and Pistol, and others, Second Amendment groups, and so forth. Support them, and there will be quite a bit of fighting and litigation to come, and so we need to support those groups. Personally, I'm most involved with Gun Owners of California. I think Sam and Tim and Julie and the whole gang down there do a great job there in the Capitol fighting constantly, and they're very, very informative. They're constantly giving updates and letting us know exactly what's going on. And then constantly as well for folks is try to affect something here on the local level. You know, we have a hard time being effective in Sacramento, but we can be effective on the local level. And just look at the local Tea Party, for example, and the things that they've been able to accomplish in just these past few years, getting the word out in the paper the best that we can. The editor there, editorial page editor, ain't worth a crap, but nevertheless, we can still try and try to get the words out that we know that these things are going to have a great effect. And the sad part about this is most of these laws that we see today, they're a building block in their method. They have a distinct plan, and these are the first steps, and there will be more to come, and so they're going to build upon these. And, for example, on the lead hunting ban, the science did not prove, in fact, it disproved what they were claiming, and yet they passed this bill, and the governor's going to pass it. I'm reasonably sure that the next step will be banning lead in firearms for the ammunition completely in the state of California, which will come at great cost to target shooters. What it'll do is it will shrink the number of target shooters because of the cost of non-toxic ammunition.
How about some of these clubs like Ducks Unlimited, Hunter Clubs, things like that? I know there's
good example.
A bunch of them in the North State.
Absolutely.
Is there any way that people can get word to them so they're a little more vocal? I'm sure there's people involved in those clubs that aren't involved with groups like the Tea Party or even with Gun Owners of California, things like that. Is there a way to do that?
Absolutely, Terry. In fact, one of the groups I work with, and I work with mule deer, ducks, turkey, and California deer. California Deer now is sending a portion of their funds that we raise right here in Redding to Gun Owners of California in Sacramento every year now. We just started that, and I kind of introduced those two groups together, and that's a good fit, and we're working on that. And I'm a committee member with Ducks Unlimited, National Wild Turkey Federation, Gun Owners of California, Mule Deer Foundation, and others. And so I'm on that all the time, and we're already taking some action there, so that's a good point. And I think most of these hunting groups and conservation groups realize that if we don't have any firearms, it's a little tough to do most of our hunting.
Well, the lead law is the thing that really is starting to affect the hunters. So it seems like we have a whole new group of people that can be vocal that maybe may not have been as vocal with the other laws that were passed. I guess another good argument for the state of Jefferson, too, huh?
I agree. I like the sound of it more and more every day. And I think almost that in the end, the final solution is just that. This state must split. This end of the state particularly is no longer getting representation, and we haven't
really
for quite some time. And the only real solution is to split us and let us leave California and join Northern California or the state of Jefferson or the state of Fred. I don't care what we call it.
Exactly.
We just need to be away from the central and southern part of California because their laws are clearly now not in line with our views and what we believe is freedom and good. And
they're not following. I mean, they're not following the Constitution.
And
the Constitution doesn't say that. You get to reach into everybody's pocket, take everything, and regulate. And Second Amendment's pretty clear.
you know, after this year, Terry, here's another big thing that happens. It's already a law. It's already signed, and it goes into effect January 1st, 2014, just a few months away, that all long guns now, as that at the point of sale when they're purchased, will become fully registered firearms. And that's the first time in California history that a whole large group of firearms will be fully registered. And they will keep a database on each purchaser, your name, your address, the make, model, and serial number of every long gun that you purchase. And do you think your government's going to use that information to help you? And they are not.
And you hit the nail on the head when you said the fact that all these laws that are being passed are really to make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. There is not one of these gun laws that help or do anything for the citizen who's honest, and it doesn't do anything to stop any kind of crime. It really is beyond the pale. It really is.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, and you know, we shouldn't be tolerating it. And unfortunately, what happens is we've just become numb to it all, because every year we're expecting two or three bills to pass that affect gun owners, and we've seen it every year, two or three bills that become law every year, and we've just become accustomed to it, and we've accepted it. This year is different. This year they've come with both barrels going, and
well,
they know that
people are starting to wake up, and I think the Tea Party movement is very instrumental in sending the message that we're not taking it laying down anymore. So of course they have to ramp up.
The assault weapon ban, you know, is particularly nerve-wracking in that the government says this type of gun should not be possessed by our people. And I want to let the public know is to do not buy into that. Guns are guns. Whether it is black or purple, walnut stock, blue or stainless steel, it does not matter. And criminal behavior, if a criminal wants to commit a crime, he is going to find a way to commit a crime. In fact, a few years ago, I think we just celebrated an anniversary, I remember distinctly some folks getting a hold of some airplanes and flying them into some buildings. And
right.
A great loss of life, and not a single firearm was used. When criminals want to do something bad, they're going to do something bad. We cannot give in to this idea that there are certain guns that are bad and some that are okay, because if we buy into that, we will have only a very small amount of guns to purchase, if any at all, because these are the same tactics that they used throughout the world. British Commonwealth countries are a good example of how they start down that path. You can't own this, you can't own this, and pretty soon they have no firearms today.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the economic implications.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Program. Thank you, Patrick. And you girls, you're the best. Thanks again for your program.
Bye.
Thanks, Terry.
And I wanted to thank you, you ladies, Elizabeth and Aaron, for what you do, you know, week after week. And you guys are all very busy, and you know, running a couple hour program and getting the word out is super important. And you know, and I thank Carl for the same thing, is getting information out to the public, because it really is one of the very few ways that the public can get this type of information. Mm-hmm. Our paper is failing across the board. I don't know what their agenda is, but they're not doing the job.
Well, it's turned into the local paper here has turned into a tabloid.
I believe
it
so.
Has.
I mean, it's just sensationalism all the time.
It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
I agree.
And since we spoke out, I'm sure we will be embarrassed by it at their first opportunity.
Sure.
Now, Elizabeth, your question was again.
Let's talk about the economic implications of these bills.
Well, and you know what this does is it. You know, by banning certain, you know, by having ammunition that's going to be registered and having an ammo permit, you're not going to buy your ammo in California. I thought about that personally, and am I going to buy ammunition and every cartridge being registered with the state of California? I'm just not going to do that. It's not their information. It's not their right. I'm law-abiding, and this is just wrong on all levels, and so I'm not going to buy it. This is a law designed directly to reduce my ammunition consumption. And the firearm bans and the regulation with the long guns and the regulation with the handguns that are coming are all designed to reduce the numbers of firearms and ammunition that you purchase. And so they're going to take this industry and notch it down, down, and down. Already, for the multitudes of millions of people that live in California today, we have fewer firearm dealers per capita, I think, than any state in the union. And I think we're under 500 dealers now for 37 million people. If this was a trend happening in gas stations, it would be shocking and alarming. You couldn't find a place to buy gas. But today in California, that's the reality, is just notch it down further and further and further. And as the costs go up, you're going to do less shooting. And if you're doing less shooting,
you're owning
less guns.
And the average person who owns firearms for personal protection, they need to practice.
Right.
They need to be. I mean, it's critical that they practice so that they're proficient and they don't make any fatal mistakes.
With the ammunition,
they're going to practice a whole lot less.
With the shortages that we've seen right now due to the Obama administration starting to talk nationally, you know, late last year and early this year about major firearm restrictions, it's created quite a shortage. It's ongoing, and that's going to continue for many months to come. This is the second time this administration has created a national panic. No other president in U.S. history has ever created a panic amongst the gun owners like this guy has. But that shortage has really had to make people think about, do they want to shoot their ammo or not? And most of them choose not to because they want to have it on hand. And that is not a normal feeling that I've ever seen before, ever in my life, whereas people felt that they needed to have a stock of ammo on hand because of this administration. This is crazy. And then to complicate matters, California legislature coming, you know, at full force with bills that I did not expect in my lifetime to ever see this type of major regulation. Here's another bill that's pending. Governor Brown's signature, and it's sitting on his desk as well. And this one will require that if you're going to do a private party transfer with a handgun, it has to be on the California approved list. The California approved list goes back 8 or 9 years now, and it's so complicated and so many things have to be added on certain types of guns that now very few handguns can come into the state of California. The list now is around 1,200 and shrinking. And in fact, because we have so many things added, like for semi-automatic handguns, for example, it has to have a chambered round indicator before it can be submitted and approved for sale in California. But in addition to that, it has to have a magazine disconnect, meaning when the magazine is out of the gun can't fire. That's a law as well. And now, in effect, as a law, is a firing pin micro stamp. When the firing pin strikes the primer, it must leave a micro serial number on the indented primer. These are all things that California already has in effect now, absolutely strangleholding this industry from getting new firearms into California. And if you're an anti-gunner, it's brilliant legislation because you can sit back and say, hey, we're just trying to keep the public safe. These are all safety features, and this is not a ban at all. We're just implementing safety features, and the mean gun industry does not want to abide by our safety measures. We're the safest state in the union, and these guys don't want to. They're just not playing
nice. We are.
Nice. And that's
news to me.
That's how they're looking at it. But it's a smokescreen. It's just straight up lies. These are things to keep guns from coming into California. We have probably 6,000 different models of handguns. When you consider all the different colors, barrel lengths, sight options, and different things, all the different manufacturers, today we can sell 1,200 of the 6,000 guns. That's all we can sell. And that's how regulated we are today. And now this new bill is going to make it even tougher for private party transfers. People will not even be able to bring up a gun that their father had given them from years ago and be able to do that transfer and get it into their name legally. It's going to create essentially criminals out of law-abiding people. They're making it so tough now, they're not going to be able to abide. My answer to this, to the listeners, is don't get discouraged. It's certainly depressing, but don't get discouraged that this is the fight of our life today and that we cannot let them win on this. We could move, and I've certainly had many good customers that have, but it will follow you. Like a disease, this will spread to neighboring states. We're starting to see this type of thinking elsewhere. We must fight it here, and this is the fight of our lives, and I know we like to hunt and target shoot and do those kinds of outdoor activities. They're a lot of fun. But we have got to change our ways and spend a little bit of our lives fighting for this for the rest of the folks that may not be able to. And for the sake of our state and our country, it's imperative that the fight begins today. You know, if we could fast forward 50 years and look back, you would say, you know, 2012, 13, 14, though the battle was at full force.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we do? We have to do more, and we already do so much, but we have to do more and fight these guys because they're just evil.
Yeah.
They're just evil.
Well, we have to be more vocal, and we have to be more vocal with facts. So when, so before we end today, we're going to get back to, the registration of long guns. Because we need to help people understand why that's a bad thing. We can't just say it's a bad thing and then people run out. Yep, it's a bad thing.
You got to back it up.
You need to be able to defend that. So we're going to work on some talking points, as they say. And then also with the lead ammunition, we need to get some fact out there on that for folks, because it sounds kind of good, I guess, if you're sort of environmentalistness, you know, but nah, it's not a good thing. Anyway, Bob, what do you got for us? We'll be right back with you here at KCNR 1460 AM. Is that the Jeffersons?
Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
That was close.
Some more politically incorrect music from the 60s. Shotgun!
I said, shotgun, shoot him before he runs now. Do it tight, baby. Do it tight now. Hey!
Back my bread. Put him back where they belong. Ain't fooling around, cause I've done had my fun. Ain't gonna see no more damage done. Give me back my bread.
And we're back. Hey, we've got about 6 minutes before the top of the hour. We're gonna go back to Patrick Jones. Patrick, tell us in user-friendly language why long gun registration is a bad thing.
It is probably the single worst thing that I have ever seen, and the reason why, it's about control. And when the state has control, you have no control. And when those guns are known, when those makes, those models, those serial numbers, and your address is kept with an ongoing active database in Sacramento, it's about control. And soon, your registration card will be demanded upon you. And then soon, there'll be a fee on each and every one of those guns, exactly like Department of Justice will do, because they use Department of Motor Vehicles system already, and they like that system. They like that every automobile that you own today is a registered automobile, either operative or non-operative, and you've got a fee that you pay every year.
And what the fee keeps going up.
Those fees keep going up. So what a great thing of control. How would you like to pay $50 per gun per year? How many guns are you going to own? And it's going to change what happens in California as to who owns guns and how many you own. $150 gun for your youngster, a starter off gun, you're not even going to want to buy it, because within 3 years, the taxes will consume the value of the gun. For collectors, it'll kill collecting, because your taxes will consume any amount of value that you would be earning over the years. Guns right now are great things to have and to own for value. They continue to go up. But when you're paying fees each year, the collectors are going to be gone. And it pushes more and more people out of California. It's all about control and controlling this industry and bringing these numbers down. And this was what I was fearing, and it starts now. January 1st, 14, that's a law, and it goes into effect. Handguns are already pretty much there. Now they're going to add the long guns to it, and then certain types of guns as well.
So this is like the shotgun that your grandfather had that's, you know, been up at your cabin for, I mean, we're not talking about the weapons that you go to war with. I mean,
this is all long guns.
All long guns.
Okay. So every 22 that is transferred or that you purchase, every single shot 12 gauge or semi-automatic hunting gun, any of those types of firearms, long guns, that's any 22, any caliber for that matter, they're subject now, and starting January 1st, 14, to full long gun registration. And it is by far the start of the control. And again, I go back to 1935, when the first things that Hitler did was he must have registration. We must have the knowledge of who owns the guns, because we can't control the people unless we know who the gun owners are.
We can't write the laws to go collect them either. We can't strip the public of their firearms if we don't know what they have.
Keep in mind,
that helps them
they will never need to come to your door, because when it's so difficult to own, and we're law-abiding, we try to abide by the laws at all costs. We really work hard at that. And eventually they'll make it so difficult that you'll be forced to turn the gun in. Or be a criminal. And most people, it eats at them. And we've seen this before. The assault weapon ban of 89 was a great example. Try to find one of those guns in California today. You won't hardly find any because it was so demanding upon the public and so intrusive on your rights that there are very few of those guns left today. And this is exactly the step. And now they're taking it to all gun owners in California. When you purchase a long gun here in the very near future, all those guns will be registered, and that control. And why are they doing this? Why today? What's so significant about creating gun control today? Because this current administration in Washington believes in gun control. They talked about it. And California is doing it.
Well, I think Dianne Feinstein just recently said within the last 2 or 3 days, if she could take every gun away from every person, she would.
Because they're treating us like criminals. That if you're a gun owner, this administration and California says that you're a criminal. And they're not distinguishing criminal.
So I'm curious, and I obviously none of us have the answer to this question, but I'm just going to put it out there anyway. As they release 10,000 more prisoners
totally
by the end of the
thing.
Year, how do they think we're going to protect ourselves? We're going to call the police?
Well, you know, and when did California ever make any sense? They are long gone from making sense, and it's time that we take back our state. This is a great state. We live in a great city. We live in a great part of the state. This is our state, and it's time that we do something different, because what we're doing today isn't working, and we're losing our great state of California because of a few knuckleheads in Sacramento. And they're wrong. They're violating our Constitution, and it's time we step up and take control of our state.
We'll be right back. We'll be talking about guns in the second hour and how we can be just like Detroit and Chicago and all those other cities that have worked out so well with no guns. We could do it statewide. It'll be awesome. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM.
You know what this is?
Shaft?
No. The Commodores with Machine Gun.
Right on.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of We the People Radio with your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and our musical savant slash producer, Bob Martin. We are stratting and cheeming live at wethepeopleradio.us, worldwide, I might add.
Get those tassels out of your mouth.
Yeah, that's where they were. This is weird. Anyway, yeah.
You know, you were reading Bob's mind. I could see by the look on his face. He's all, God, that's just what I was thinking. That scares me.
Go to wethepeopleradio.us and follow along.
Everything
about our guest is on that webpage, created by Robert Exter. And a link to every show we've ever done over the last 3 years. You can send them out far and wide individually. No excuse not to pass the information and share the joy. Hey, and
we've been doing this since 10-10-10.
10-10-10. Ooh.
10, 10, 10.
Yeah, almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got a call this week from Larry Miller, who comes to our Tea Party meeting in Shasta County, and it was so cool. He told me that he was in a store somewhere in the Redding area, and he heard the store owner telling one of their customers about our radio show.
Nice.
Yeah. I thought that
I still like it when I get emails that say I should listen to the show. I love that. I'll do it. I heard it's good.
Oh, that's so funny.
It is funny.
Yeah.
I got a call from, or an email from a guy in Yuba City. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, you should listen to this show. Like, thanks.
Well, thanks. I will. I hear there's somebody on there that sounds just like me.
I always wonder if he looks at my email and like notices the name is similar. I just think it's funny.
I get that too, where people say, hey, did you see what the city council did?
You're all those idiots.
Yep, I think I did.
So we're talking about the devastating bills sitting on Governor Brown's desk. Now, I read somewhere this week that he's all over the map on all of the gun bills, and that there's nobody has a real clear direction on which way he's going to go. What feel do you have for that?
You know, normally, if you look back at Governor Brown in the past, and some had said, you know, while certainly a staunch Democrat, that he wasn't big on banning guns, And so there may be some truth to that. However, when your party brings forward a distinct plan and a new direction, I don't think he's going to disappoint them. However, I do believe, because at least one good thing is that most of these did not pass on a supermajority, or any of them, I don't think, passed on a supermajority, so they simply become law. They are on the governor's desk. He is going to have to either sign them or veto them, and he's got 30 days.
But if he just lets them roll past the 30 days, don't they go in automatically?
If he fails to sign or veto the bill, it automatically becomes law, yes.
Yeah, so he could just do hear no evil, see no evil, mm-hmm. speak no
evil. So the good point is that now we can at least put pressure on the governor and try to get a couple of these, if we can, or a multitude of these changed. So there's at least now there is a little bit of a chance there that we can put some pressure on them. The lead hunting ban is one that most of the hunting groups are going to converge on Sacramento now and start putting some pressure on him. The science proves that this is unnecessary, mm-hmm. and we have that. And we will try to convince him of that.
Well, they're trying to claim, like, I mean, it, you know, the environmental community, you know, nothing like taking an idea and then just distorting it, flipping it, and, you know, running it, just running it up a different flagpole. I mean, they're trying to say that, that lead ammunition is kind of like little kids eating lead paint,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's going to just poison all the birds and all this. Well, Mark Baird had a big giant hunk of lead that was just up on his ranch, just in the ground, you know. So he took this big blob of lead down to the Capitol, put it on one of these guys, I don't know which one, but I took it, put it on this guy's desk, and he goes, "Do you know what that is?" And the guy's like, "No." He goes, "It's lead." The guy goes, "Really? Where did it come from?" He goes, "In the ground at my ranch." And the guy goes, "Well, how did it get there?" He goes, "God made it." And the guy goes, "Oh, I thought they made lead in a factory."
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is why these things can happen, because we're just missing some basic.
You know, lead is an element, and it occurs throughout the world.
On the periodic table.
It is, just like titanium and scrantium and all these different things. This science that I talk about, we proved that back when the state first passed a lead ban or a non-toxic ban in the Condor region, which is in Southern California. It's a horseshoe shape that kind of goes into the Bay Area. And they barred lead projectiles for hunting in that region. And they said the condors, and their science was that condors are receiving lead into their bodies, and it's creating reproductive and other health issues for the condors, and their numbers are decreasing because of bullets that hunters fire into game animals, and then the condors feed off those carcasses.
So if the windmills don't get them, the lead will.
And so what we saw with that, and so that was a reasonable expectation or a plan, and that went into effect. And then what we did is we took a look at what happened. And so when you fast forward 3 years, because there was a ban in that area, one would naturally say that you should see either a flattening or a decrease of lead in the condors in that region during the time frame that lead hunting, bullets were banned in that area. The statistics show otherwise. The lead had continued to rise on the same rate that it had when the and it proved that it was that they are receiving lead, but it is not from hunters. And you know, lead is not just lead. Most lead is not 100% pure lead. In fact, it's very rarely that it is. Lead has a fingerprint. And different bullet manufacturers use different contents of bullet material. It's not just lead. There's tin and there's antimony and there's different things in there. We can prove what is in the condors today down to a minute amount, yet that science is not coming forward. So this garbage science that they're using, now they're pushing for the entire state. Say, see how good it was for the condors, but it really didn't change anything with the condors. Condors are receiving lead because it occurs naturally in the environment. And it also comes from factory and automobile emissions that silt that circulate around the world and filter down on all plant and animal life in the United States. And that's what's occurring. And it has a fingerprint, and we can prove it. But yet they're going to take this junk science, and they're going to push it on to the whole state now, and it's on the governor's desk. And what it'll do for all types of hunting in California, so whether you squirrel hunt, deer, bear, pig, any of those things, you are no longer going to be able to use what they call a toxic bullet, so it can't be lead. It has to be non-toxic. Now, there are such bullets out there. I shoot Barnes bullets. It's a copper bullet. My gun likes it. It's three times the cost. And I use
it
for...
I bet you get a good deal. I heard those Jones Fork guys are pretty good there.
Well, I tell you, it's a great
bullet.
Better
tell Marshall. Are you guys low? Marshall's like, why are we always out of those copper bullets?
Well, and people for years have come in the Condor range and asked for them because they're hard to find and they're expensive. Mm-hmm. And they don't market that well when they're three times the cost. And there are other brands too, and Nosler's working hard right now on creating some non-toxic type bullets. And so the industry will try to help us out the best that they can. Costs go up. When costs go up, you're going to shoot less and you're going to hunt less in California. And this is just the first step, because the next step is they're going to create the science to say how wonderful this was.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh,
the
yeah.
And the next step will be we need to eliminate lead completely for all types of shooting in California.
But then you got to remember, too, then on another track, you know, you have always have multiple trains coming at you, right? So on the other track, you know, they want to have wolves.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get some wolves out there, there won't be any game to shoot anyway. So they'll just be fish, you know, no wildlife, no game.
Yeah. So do you think the end game is just to run everybody out of the state of California?
That's what it is. It's not to run everybody out, because that isn't the goal. But it is to run the conservative, free-minded people out of California and leave this different type of person. And
Ones that the criminals are going to go after because they can.
And
it's going to be awesome, because you can't run very well with Birkenstocks. They fall off.
Yeah.
I love to look at Chicago.
And all that hair on your legs probably chafes when you're wearing that long skirt. I'm sorry, I've got a lot of good visuals rolling through here now.
Yeah, me too. And it wasn't pretty.
I don't know about all that, but
that was a little Humboldt County joke.
But take a look at Chicago and look at the amount of laws that they have. And look at the death rate they have.
It's
and
terrible.
Did it really solve problems?
And look at what a booming economy
created.
They have.
Right.
And Detroit.
Detroit looks like it's been bombed.
Detroit looks like Beirut.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so those gun laws really, they've been smoking hot for those
guys.
Well,
you know, for all of those people out there that think that this is not a big deal and that we shouldn't have guns, you know, don't be stupid. Criminals will always have them. They will always get them. They will always use them. And when you are an unarmed society, you're ripe for the picking for them, and they know it.
Well, what goes next?
For you.
I mean, honestly, you got to realize, unless you're just not paying attention, you have to realize the stupidity will keep going. So, you know, let's say we get all the guns out of everybody's hands. Uh-oh, there's baseball bats.
Mm-hmm.
We better register those baseball bats. I mean, that's just the...
Well, the reality, Aaron, is that, and we haven't really thought this out very well, but as we make things much more difficult in the firearm world, what it will do, without a doubt, is it will start making criminals think about how to be effective with other things, which they have not done to this point, to much of an extent.
But don't you think they'll always get their guns? Because they don't play by the rules.
I think when they start thinking about it, they will start... This will force them to start thinking about guns and or getting guns and or doing other things. Now, here's a great example, the Columbine incident. And people don't read that diary very much, but one of those youngsters created a diary, and he left that diary behind. And this occurred in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And what it said, one of these young guys, and they dress in goth, and then they're being picked on, and, you know, they paint their nails black, and they wonder why they get picked on, and they don't like their whole school, and they want to kill everybody in their whole school, and they're very angry, very mad. And right in their diary, he keeps a log every day that he, you know, they've got a plan. They're gonna kill everybody at school, and they're going to get some firearms, and they're gonna create some bombs. And what the bombs don't blow up, then they will shoot the rest of the people. And this was their plan. And next entry into the diary says, you know, we're having trouble. We're underage. We're having trouble getting our hands on some firearms. So if we can't get our hands on some firearms, this plan may not completely work. So we're going to hijack a plane and fly it into a building. Now, this was said in 1999 in that diary. They clearly were intent on doing criminal behavior, and they did. They did get their hands on some firearms, and I think 8 or 9 innocent people were killed. If they had not, they would have hijacked a plane. We know they were serious about it now, and they would have flown it into a building. Now, that didn't alarm anybody in 1999, but you fast forward a few mm-hmm. years, and we now know what happens when you fly planes into buildings. Thousands of people die.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Columbine could have been. But yet we talk about guns in Columbine, and it's not about guns. It's about criminal behavior.
Right.
And
yep.
The American people are tired and fed up about not addressing these real issues. And the Sandy Hook issue was a great opportunity to address these real issues that are affecting all of us here in the United States, crime is increasing. There are some real core issues, but we're not addressing those issues. We're not talking about people and mental illness.
I was going to say, we haven't addressed mental health, and that is
huge.
I mean, that's a gigantic factor.
Honestly, they're passing out antidepressants like they're candy. I mean, the doctors are prescribing them left and right, an easy fix. And most teenagers should not be on them because they have devastating effects.
Correct.
I mean, right there is a core problem.
There are identifiable things that can be helpful, but yet this conversation continues to go back to let's ban some firearms.
Sure.
And all it does is strip law-abiding people. It violates the Constitution of the United States, and it rips the country apart, and it rips our state apart because we won't deal with the real realities of criminal behavior. But it's easy to ban guns because they're inanimate. And they're harder to defend.
And well, especially when you hold up. There are so many people who don't have experience with firearms. Mm-hmm. So for the people who have no experience, it isn't that they're necessarily against guns. They're just, it's easier to bring them into the net on the lies because they have no knowledge. It's kind of like people who don't live in rural areas.
Correct.
It's easier to tell them about what we're all doing out here to destroy the ground because they live in a city. What do they know?
Most Californians are reasonably educated and I would say pretty smart. But most of them are also gun ignorant. And that does not mean that they're ignorant. It's just that they're not understanding firearms. And in relation to criminal behavior, I've noticed when you bring people up to Northern California and put them in an outlying area, and the mountain lion eats their dog, and they start figuring out, you know what, I need to take care of myself here in this world, and they start getting a different sense, and that, hey, I'm law-abiding, and I can own a gun, and they start coming around. It takes them a couple years, but they'll never get that chance in the Bay Area or beyond. And are we going to be able to make contact with 36, 37 million people in short order? Probably not.
Probably not, yeah.
Probably not.
We better take a quick break here. Bob, how are we doing?
We're ready.
Is it quick break time? We'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. You are listening to We the People Radio. If you want to call us, your time frame is shrinking. It's 530-605-4567 here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
And we're back with Patrick Jones. It was over. Jones Fort. And
the chat room already knew it was Marty Robbins.
Nice.
Very good.
Nice.
And he gets a star.
Okay, so we're going to give a rundown of the bills.
Yeah, you know, here's 10. We'll start off with these 10, and these have passed out. You know, and one of the little tricks they do, in fact, I recall on the AB 711, that was the lead ammo ban for hunting. It had gotten a lot of heat early on. A lot of hunting groups came out, and so they put it in a suspense file. And people said, okay, it's put over here and it's not on the agenda. And I told people, don't think about that. I said, that one, they'll pull that up on the very last day in the last few hours and pass it, and damned if they didn't. So now AB 711 is sitting on the governor's desk. And so that is a little trick. They do it all the time. When something's getting a lot of pressure, they just put it in the suspense file and it'll be back. and they did. So that's really bad politics in Sacramento to do that to the public and not give the public a fair chance to weigh in on a very controversial topic, but they did it anyways. So here's 10 of them that are now sitting on the governor's desk ready for him to sign within the next 30 days, or if he doesn't have to do anything, they become law. AB 48, that bans large capacity magazine and conversion kits. AB 170, that expands assault weapon registration and permit requirements. AB 169 bans private party transfers of handguns legally purchased prior to the safe handgun list. No transfers allowed even to your children. AB 180, Assembly Bill 180, allows Oakland to make their own new strict gun laws. AB 231 requires you to keep your home defense guns locked up. AB 500 requires you to keep your guns locked up and allow DOJ to slow down or drag their feet on background checks. AB 711 is your lead ammo ban for hunting. AB 374 is the expansion of assault weapon terms, and we'll get to that later. SB 475 bans gun shows at the Cow Palace, even though that it's a publicly paid for building. And SB 755 expands the list of misdemeanors, including some intoxication controlled substances. And let's talk about that assault weapon ban, SB 347. What this does is it goes back to the assault weapon ban of 2000. And on the assault weapon ban of 2000, what it said there was any center fire, so no rim fires, but any center fire rifle that has the capacity to accept a detached magazine and any one of the five following features is then an assault weapon. And those five following features are collapsible stocks, folding stocks, conspicuously protruding pistol grips, flash hider, so forth like that. And thumb hole stock. Those were the five features. And because some of those features could be changed, some of those guns could still be sold. So we kind of went around, essentially, the industry went around that to a certain extent. The bullet button essentially went around the assault weapon ban of 2000 to still manufacture and sell in California what we called California-compliant firearms. And rifles, mainly. There were some handguns and shotguns that were caught up in that as well. The assault weapon ban of 2000 now will be revisited, and this SB 347 will have a new definition of what a assault weapon is, and that is, and it's simplified now, and will encompass more long guns. So any centerfire rifle that could hold more than 10 rounds, that now becomes...
Not does, but could.
That could. And so there's going to be some grayness there, so there's going to be a few guns, and we're not sure whether they could or couldn't, and you try to get an answer out of DOJ, and good luck with that. But certainly guns like Mini 14s, Ruger Mini 14 Ranch Rifles have been around 40 years, they're banned. Springfield Armory M1As, or any M1A for that matter, those will be banned. All your AKs, FNs, HKs, ARs, FNs, Daewoos, all those will be banned. Browning, Remingtons, there are so many of these, so it almost eliminates all centerfire semi-automatics for the California market. Now, if you own those, you're going to have a one-year period to register those, 1 year and only 1 year, 365 days to the day, and you will have to register those as a special California assault weapon that has nothing to do with when you purchased it. It's not registered when you purchase it as of today. So that's something special that you're going to have to do, and you're going to have to pay a fee, and you'll get back from Department of Justice in a California assault weapon registration card. And when you sign to that, you are going to abide by the rules of having an assault weapon in California. And that is you have to keep it at the address listed, and Department of Justice has the right to come and inspect it at that location in any 24-hour period they deem necessary. That is the rules. That is what's sitting on the governor's desk. And that's what's coming.
So much for our Fourth Amendment rights.
So, you know, that is super restrictive. Now, who's going to do that? Now, from past experience, because we have two assault weapon bans, keep in mind, there are only two assault weapon bans in the entire country that I know of, and they're here in California, and that's the 1989 ban and the assault weapon ban of 2000. There are none nowhere else. It's only here in California. Now we're going to expand that. And in 1989 and in 2000, when those bans happened, they only got less than 2 or 3% of the public to register because they're not going to do it. And the state knows that. They know that. They know that it is so intrusive that when this occurs, people are going to be, they're going to be criminals because they're not going to register their guns. Because when you read those fine terms, the fine print, you're not going to do it. And they know it because they have two bans already that proved it. And so this one isn't going to be any different. And they'll get a very small percentage. Maybe they get 5% of the public doing that. But 95% of those guns, 95% of the people will now be criminals. And we're not talking about 400,000 or 500,000 people here, mind you. We're talking about millions of gun owners now in California that are potentially going to be a criminal if they don't comply to the state's demand and register those guns and abide by those terms.
Well, where are they going to put us?
And to make matters worse, you have to transport that long gun now, that assault weapon, in a hard locked container and use it only on private property where you have written permission.
Jeez.
So they make it so difficult that you can't barely use it. I cannot, and I have one from 1989. I registered mine in 1989, and I got my assault weapon card. I keep it in my wallet today. I can barely use that gun in California. In fact, I won't hunt with it here because if I walk on railroad property unknowingly, I'm a criminal, and I don't like that. And so I hunt with it out of state. But that's what they do. They force us to be criminals. I defy anyone to be able to have a California assault weapon as in these terms and to be able to comply with the law, because you can't do it. It's impossible unless you just keep it on your ranch and it never leaves your ranch and you stay right there if you're, you know, fortunate enough to have a ranch. And so that's what they're doing to us, and that's the extent. And if you think that's where it will end, that ain't even the beginning, because they're all going to get to that point. That's the whole point with registration.
Sure.
They're all going to get there. And they're here. They're taking a group. You can imagine Feinstein, or, you know, even though she's our U.S. representative, but you can imagine her holding a gun like that up in front of the Assembly, or Kevin DeLeon holding it up in front of the Senate, a black gun, you know, and look how evil this gun is, and these guys bow down like sheep and pass this
stuff. Yeah, those people that have armed bodyguards.
And they pass these guns, and judging them by how they look or the description of what they can do.
Isn't that profiling?
Well, for the people that for people who maybe are unfamiliar with these bills, maybe they're unfamiliar with you know, the firearms issue in general, and you're thinking, well, how stupid is this? Hey, you ought to go to gunownersca.com. Gunownersca.com, or just do a search on Gun Owners of California. There, the description on AB 48, the ammunition sales bill written by Assemblywoman Nancy Skinner. It's funny. It says, and the winner of the You've Got to Be Kidding Me award is Assemblywoman Nancy Skinner. She has introduced a bill that makes it illegal to have parts to repair a legally possessed magazine that's capable of holding more than 10 rounds. She's also banning magazines that look like they could hold more than 10 rounds, even if they cannot.
Right.
And it kind of goes on from there. So, you know, this doesn't have to be dry and boring. Gun Owners of California has given you a website that highlights every single bill. They've thrown in a little humor where appropriate. And you can actually get – this is real short. I mean, what is this? Maybe 100 words, I guess.
Yeah, the Gun Owners of California website is a great
site. It's fantastic, and it gives all the contact information for the author of the bill, the Capitol Office, District Office, a way to share it on Facebook. It's really super useful. So,
you know, every other time I call down there, I get Sam on the phone, the executive director, and I mean, this is the guy that lobbies at the Capitol, you know, practically daily, and he'll give you exactly the insight of what's happening. That's very rare. You know, most of the time we are just literally in the dark as to what's happening, when these sessions end, what's happening, have they made any changes on these bills. GOC is right there giving us the update and giving us sometimes some of the meaning, because they're written in such a way sometimes where there's some vagueness.
Or it sounds not bad.
Right.
You know, oh, this is to do this. And, you know, if you just look at the little shrimpy description, you think, well, I don't know, that's not such a big deal. Then you start reading what it really means. I mean, when you start looking at ammunition sales, okay, so for those people who think that people shouldn't have a lot of ammunition, bans magazines that look like they could hold more than 10 rounds, even if they can't.
Sure.
Really? We're banning things that look like something that they're not?
Right.
How stupid is that?
Well, and it's going to hurt a lot of people. Again, this is not going to affect just, you know, 200,000 or 300,000 people. This is going to affect millions of law-abiding Californians that have a magazine. And what we call these is there's 10-10s, 10-20s, 10-30s, where they hold 10 rounds, but they give you the look that you're looking for in your rifle. Either it's a short 10-rounder look or it's a 20-rounder look. And as we know, when things look longer, that's better. And
we started with that.
We started with
We've
that.
We've come full circle.
Yeah, and notice how he changed that. He changed the description of that conversation.
Didn't involve. Never mind. The final provision of the bill would require the Department of Justice. This is a part I kind of liked. Require the Department of Justice to report to local law enforcement officials any time an individual purchases a yet-to-be-determined number of rounds of ammo within a five-day period. Mm. Will the number be 500 rounds, one brick of 22, 1,000 rounds of handgun ammo? The average number of rounds fired by a competitive handgun shooter in an average week of training and practice? Will it be 100 rounds of shotgun shells? I mean, the list goes on. So they're going to pass a bill with yet to be... God, it sounds like Obamacare.
You love that. Mm-hmm. When they pass a bill and they have not defined the bill...
Well, and that's not by accident.
Normally, that would never pass any kind of scrutiny at the state level to pass a bill and then define it later. That is ridiculous.
You're going to control a number that hasn't been listed in the bill.
And what...
Clever.
You're going to notify someone for legal transactions. So you're going to notify law enforcement agencies possibly for legal transactions. Nothing illegal, but legal transactions. As if they have nothing better else to do.
And they're going to go, okay.
You know, and I have folks that are competitive target shooters, and I think of a gentleman recently that just bought 64 cases of shotgun shells. It was a good deal, and it was, hey, let's get as much as we can. So I order him a pallet. And he'll shoot that up in a whole year without question. I mean, he shoots a lot, and so do I. And so how are they going to look upon that?
Mm-hmm. So you're super on the list.
You know, so now he's ordered a large quantity of ammunition, and so you can imagine not knowing the gentleman and not knowing what he does. And the last time I checked, we still lived in a pretty free country. But they're going to assume this guy is up to criminal behavior because he's a gun owner, so he's a criminal already. Mm-hmm. And now he's buying a large amount of ammunition, so mm-hmm. clearly
yes.
he is going to do something bad. You know.
Hey, so economically, I keep going back to that. I wonder if anybody's run the numbers, like Gun Owners of California, if they've run the numbers. Because, you know, every industry has ancillary businesses that are affected by that industry.
Correct.
So I'm wondering if anybody's run the numbers on what this is actually going to do to the economy in California. And, you know, you're a microcosm, Jones Fort. What do you anticipate for your business over the next?
Well, clearly these things are not good. And you know, this is my 51st year selling firearms in California. And so we've seen a lot of stuff come and go. And
now, how is that possible? I know you're not.
I'm 45. But I started in the shop when I was four
yeah.
in 1972.
Yeah.
And my dad
Your dad was a... What is it? You know, child labor law violator?
I wanted to work.
Child abuse.
And we all did. Now, there were days that I didn't, and I had to, and but nevertheless, my dad was going to keep track of his youngsters, and so I found it fun, and I listened to every word my father did, and in fact, some of the same things I say are exactly what my father says and has said in the past. But I grew up in this industry, and 50 years of selling firearms in California, not somewhere else, but in this state, and we've always been able to adapt, and I believe that we can adapt no matter what. But it will be very different, and it's getting harder, and we're working harder and longer and harder, and most people have given up in these industries because I can make more money elsewhere, I guarantee it. I know it. I choose to do this because I feel it's so important. I've sold over 60,000 firearms, and I take that as a badge of honor, getting those firearms out to the public because I think it's so important. These are law-abiding people that pass background checks, and I think it's more and more important that we do that. I don't run easily from a fight, and we will stay to the bitter end. I have no plan B. We will go down fighting and swinging for our town, our community, our state. They're wrong, we're right, mm-hmm. and it's worth a fight.
Exactly. All right. On that happy note, we're going to take a really quick 2-minute break. We've got 2 minutes to go to gunownerca.com and review the bills. If you have questions for us, give us a holler. Other than that, we'll be right back with you here at KCNR 1460 AM.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails. Ain't worth a lot of money, and it damn sure ain't for sale. The Lord only knows all the stories it could tell my granddaddy's gun. He bought it new out of the Sears Roebuck catalog, and it's
shot of many shells over the back of an old bird dog. Backed the burglar down when Grandma took the safety off Granddaddy's gun. These days I go down to Walmart and they settle them in the back. Some people want to take them away. Why don't you go bussin' boys that sell a crack? Guns, whether Remingtons or Clark. Swinging on the block. I'm gonna tell you once and listen, son. As long as I'm alive and breathing, you won't take my guns.
I think we just found the theme song for the show.
All right.
And we're back.
Yeah, I love that come and get them flags that I see out there. That's great. And that's the mentality that we have to have because we're under attack, and it can be no other way. They're taking our guns right now as we speak while we're alive, and that is the appropriate.
And we were talking off air, and we try not to get partisan, but this is definitely a partisan issue, and that is on the record, the legislative record. The Democrats own this completely. And I want to know if they are going to clean up the aftermath when crime goes even higher than it already is, because those criminals know you're not armed.
You know, and I'm not surprised that they step it up now with having, you know, major control in both houses here in the Senate and the Assembly.
We knew they were going to do that.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure why they didn't even do more, to be honest, because if I had that type of control in reverse, I would start reversing as many laws. I mean, I would be looking at 100 bills to reverse if I had such a power. And so while these are devastating and these are pretty significant and the worst that I've ever seen and will have long-lasting and reaching effects, they will do more next year. Mm-hmm. This is not just the end of it. And so how depressing is that we're facing these bills on the governor's desk now and knowing they're going to be just as many next year, too, if we don't do something different now.
Well, the only thing that rolls this stuff back, is, you know, especially when it's political, is fear of not being reelected. Mm-hmm. You know? And okay, if you're voting for something that's actually a good thing and they come after you, that there's fear of not being reelected, I mean, press on, obviously.
Sure.
But these are power and control things. These are just, you know, this is pandering. And so you get jacked up on that, and I don't think they'll do it again.
And you know the funny thing is, these are just the gun bills,
right?
Oh God, yeah. And
we didn't even touch about anything else.
But hey, and I forgot about that. I was remiss.
Not you.
I was remiss. The bathroom bill, you know, or the Johnny and Jeanette bill, or whatever you want to call
Jack
it, the
Jill.
One where everybody can go in everybody else's bathroom, depending on what
how you feel that day,
what sexual orientation they feel like they are that day.
How you feeling, Bob?
You can use whichever plumbing.
Just call me Bobby.
You can use whichever plumbing you want, regardless of the plumbing you were given. Anyway, we have repeal petitions, so
great.
Those will be available Reading Tea Party Monday night, 6 o'clock.
Excellent.
They're available in other places.
Excellent.
And it is Karen England's organization that is called
Capital Institute.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've gone brain dead.
I know.
Oh, well.
Patrick brought us coffee.
Well,
he's killing me.
I tell you, you know, with the amount of laws, you know,
Capital
California.
Capital Resource Institute.
There you go.
Capital Resource Institute is the one spearheading the
excellent.
What do you call it?
Repeal of the
bathroom bill. There you go. Sorry. Okay.
You know, on a slow year in California, you're looking at 700 new laws. On a little more active year, you're looking at 1,000 new laws per year. And if you think about it, like an incoming assemblyman, I'm not sure if you have the hours in the day to actually read every bill that comes on your desk. If just in the hours in the day, start to finish in a year, you can't even read all the pages to all those bills that are going to be passed each year in California. Absolutely out of control. Insanity in California when you're passing those numbers of things that Californians can't do anymore, changing your life. And it's every year, 1,000 bills a year. It's incredibly restrictive, and now we're starting to see it pick up big time in the anti-gun world here with these guys. I go to Sacramento a few times, Aaron. I know you do all the time, and I don't know how you guys
I don't actually have to because we don't deal with Sacramento anymore.
Man.
That's right.
Thank God.
Well, you have been to Sacramento.
Yes,
a lot,
and the federal side, those guys are like, gun bills? Yeah, no. Isn't that funny? You'd think that those guys would be the ones that would go for it, but no.
You know, and that's a little bit deceiving is that when you start talking to the average person, they expect that a lot of this stuff is happening federally, and it's not.
It's not.
Happening in California. They're unaware of Congress and our state assembly and our state Senate. You know, they haven't taken the time to learn the differences. They still think Feinstein and Boxer has something to do with our California laws here in the legislature, which they don't. They're visible. They've been there a long time,
Don't forget about Pelosi. She's from here too.
And they're anti-gun, but our problems right now are with the Senate and the Assembly and what they're doing to us with the laws, and of course now in the hands of the governor. And there is a chance for the public. You know, how sad is it? Here we are, basically, almost less than 4 months away from the new year. These bills, many of them, will go into effect within the next 30 days. Many of these will pass, if not all of them. Mm-hmm. And where's the paper? You know, where's the paper letting the public know across the state and certainly in our own city that this is time for people to act? It's almost too late. It's not too late. We still have a chance to really pound on the governor. But, boy, these things really needed to come up. But it's all choreographed, I think, to the extent where the public just loses.
Well, the thing is, the really scary part is that if they pass even a portion of that, people won't know. People just flat aren't going to know.
Right.
And, as we all know, ignorance of the law is no defense. So
all of
the sudden, they do become criminals. I mean, we've said that throughout this program. But they become criminals and they don't know it.
Yeah.
Well, and that's really going to be...
And they will lose their gun rights if they get clipped for these.
More than that, they're gonna go to... And I've seen it before. In fact, I sold a firearm to a gentleman in the early 90s. It was a Mini 14. It was completely legal and everything was fine with that gun in the early 90s. Fast forward after 2000, and he had changed the stock to a folding stock somewhere in between there, and he was picked up on felony assault weapon charges and had a jury trial. And this cost him about $20,000, two years of his life, to defend himself about a gun that he bought legally, and he did not know by putting this stock on that gun that it made it an assault weapon. He was lucky. A jury in Shasta County did not find him guilty, and he was acquitted. That's going to happen an awful lot, where people don't realize that the gun they bought 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, it's an assault weapon, and you've got to do something or you're going to be a felon. And not only are you gonna lose that gun, but you may have to defend yourself in court, and you may go to prison over this.
Sure.
And we're not, again, talking about just a few hundred thousand people. We're talking about millions of Californians that if they're not keeping up on these gun laws,
sure,
they could be
a felon.
How'd
you like to move here?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of a sudden, your job transfers here or whatever, you move here, and surprise!
A simple Mini 14 or a Kel-Tec, these are good ranch rifles that are used heavily throughout the United States and throughout the world. Those now will become an assault weapon, and you may not know it, and you're essentially looking at a felony for just the mere possession of it. Absolutely insanity. No, and keep in mind, folks, this is just in California. This is nowhere else. People are shocked when they go to Wyoming or New Mexico or some of these other states, and they see all this stuff, and they still have
a rifle in the back window of their pickup truck.
Right, and they forgot that. There's another part of the world here. It's part of our country.
Do you know? And here, talk about the media shield. You can talk to people in other states. You can talk to them about the craziness in California. For instance, the bathroom bill.
Sure.
They don't know what you're talking about. You talk about AB 109 and the release of prisoners. They're not hearing it.
Right. No, it's amazing. The paper and the newspapers across California. But I'm going to be critical of our own, because that's the one that I see
Sounds
on a regular basis. And they have an obligation. It's an opportunity, really, to inform the public, but we have an obligation, and of course, any elected official, we have an obligation as well to tell our residents what is happening and then hear from them. And it's the paper is still relevant today. It was more relevant in the past, but it's still relevant today to get information out to the public so they can hear it. That's why I appreciate the radio and being able to come on the radio, is because it's a way that we can get this out. Because the paper is failing, I give them an F.
Yeah. Well, the paper has the ability to sit around on the table all day. I mean, you can read the paper at night if you didn't have time in the morning. The radio is a point in time. Other than you can send the archive of the show right. to friends and family and inform them, which is terrific, and I hope people do that. But the print media has the ability to do that. So my guess is, I might as well just ask the question, huh? So my guess is that the Record Searchlight has not been beating down the door of Jones Fort to come in and find out what's going on with gun legislation.
No, and they've known this stuff is coming. I know Bruce Ross over there, editorial page editor, he knows about the bullet ban or the lead ban, and he knows about these
and
things.
And nothing? I mean, I don't get the paper on purpose because of that.
He's printed one editorial about it, but it was skewed, and it really didn't get down to the
meat of
the matter.
Well, at the very least, if he cares about the people that live in his community that he supposedly imparts information to, he wouldn't want people to get into a position of ignorance where they possess a firearm that they bought 30 years ago and that they could become a felon and end up in court. You would think that he wouldn't want that to happen to people.
Well, I agree, but I think it's worse than that now, Elizabeth. I think what's happening is that it's all about more of sensationalized, tabloid style things that get people to try to pick
all
up.
All flash.
You know, and all.
I wonder how their sales are.
Headline grabbing. And, you know, when we talk about Assembly Bill 170 or, AB 48 or 169, it's a bit boring. It has big, big issues and problems for California residents. But I think they're trying to weigh what sells newspapers as opposed to just print the information and let people make mm-hmm. their own minds up. We don't need an opinion about it.
Just
we
print
need
the facts.
And give people the facts.
Oh, I think they call that journalism.
Well, some of the investigative reporting, but no, you know, they got an article in there today, Tea Party takes aim at Republican leaders in Congress. Well, they had to dig all the way into the AP and go to Fletcher, North Carolina for that one.
Right.
Well, that's super informative. Thanks a lot, boys. Okay, so on that happy note, one more quick break for the top of the hour. We'll be right back with you here at We the People Radio, talking about guns and ripping the local paper for not informing people. Heavy on the ripping.
Low on the informing.
I'll keep my freedom. I'll keep my guns. Try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working. Try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change.
There's a gun and ammunition just inside the doorway. Use it only in emergency. Better you should pray to God, the Father and the Spirit will guide you and protect you from up here.
I don't think so.
Here's another one, Elizabeth. I wanted to let the listeners know. SB 683, and I'm not sure if that one's moved forward onto the governor's desk or not. But
which one? SB what?
SB 683. And this one requires all gun buyers to get a firearm safety certificate before buying any gun. Now, they already do that on handguns. That they nail you for $25. And now they're going to try to do it with all long guns and nail you for another $25. So here's your fees already starting to go up. On the ammunition registration bill, again, if that one's moved forward, that too was a $25 fee. And again, it's all about getting registration and getting these fees, getting the state money. It's taking money from the public and getting it over into the government and creating a bureaucracy to feed this gun control and this registration control machine. And look at what Europe has. Look at, say, Germany, for example, where you can own 8 firearms. That's it. They have a registration program that's extremely strict, and you can't own any more. And every time you sell a gun, both parties have to go down and register it with the registration office. That's exactly what they're talking about here. They don't make this stuff up. They've just regurgitated it from Europe. And it's happening to us in California right now. And it's a time for all gun owners. If they can go to Gun Owners of California website and take a look at these bills and then try to think how that's going to affect them and their children and their children's children, you're going to find out that it's not tolerable. We can't be free and continuing to go down this path. Now, I'm not talking about being violent. I never have. I never will. We don't need to be violent in our world because we have the Constitution of the United States that gives us these rights. We have the individual right to keep and bear arms, and we must fight for that today with the Constitution behind us because we're right. I think of Martin Luther King and what he did. He was right, and that's what we need today. And we have some leaders out there, and I think of Sam at Gun Owners of California. I think of Sheriff Lopey. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of a few people that that are leaders that will stand up and do what's right. I think of Sheriff Richard Mack. These are the kinds of guys today that we need to get behind and move forward. And the country is hungry, and Californians are hungry for doing what's right. And just follow the Constitution and do what's right, and we're going to be fine at the end of the day.
Yep.
So it's exciting. It's scary, but it's exciting to see that people are coming forward in numbers now. And we're hearing about counties and maybe the city of Redding talk about breaking away from California because they're not following the Constitution, and we can't be free. Mm-hmm. And what is life without freedom? It's nothing.
Exactly.
It's slavery.
And it honestly, it's time. It's funny. I was reading that article that I was referencing. It's time for people who believe that the Constitution is a valid, solid document that protects our rights to not nitpick. I mean, okay, our sheriff here in Shasta County, we have a huge amount of concealed weapons permits issued in Shasta County. Our sheriff is definitely pro-gun.
Yeah. Yes.
So you know what? Don't nitpick the guy and throw him under the bus.
Right.
You know, let's work with the people that are going our direction for the most part.
Sheriff Bazinko is well known in Sacramento.
Great.
And he's really pushed hard for us. He is another one that we can get behind. Sheriff.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, guys.
Sorry, Patrick, thanks for the coffee. Thanks for the guns.
Yeah.
Thanks for keeping us updated.
We'll be back with you next week, folks. And I don't
know
what we're doing.
Guns.
You can be for Patrick. Thanks for the guns.
Yeah.
Where do guns come from? They come
coffee.
From
Jones Ford. I didn't know you brought guns.
Well, we
guns
all brought our own. We all brought our own.
Free guns for all.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Bye, Bob.
Bye, Aaron. Bye, Elizabeth. Thank you, Patrick.
Good night, John Boy. Good night, Ellen.
It's Mary Ellen.
Mary Ellen.
Mary Ellen to you. Take any notes today.
And the Don Shulman Show is next here at the Pulse of the North State, KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
The Pulse?